This evening, we shall study together from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. Let us read together from verse 1. And he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured up. Verse 5. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him, with the 12, asked of him the parable. Verse 11. And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. Verse 12. That seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted, and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately, and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Verse 16. And these are they likewise, which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth, for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Verse 18. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Verse 20. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Verse 21. And he said unto them, Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel, or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid, which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. Verse 23. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, Take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. Verse 25. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. Verse 26. And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. Verse 29. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. Verse 30. And he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. Verse 33. And with many such parables spake he the word unto them, as they were able to hear it. But without a parable spake he not unto them. And when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. Verse 35. And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. Verse 38. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose, and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? Verse 41. And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obeyed him? Amen. Now, my dearly beloved, this particular chapter is extremely important and very precious for each and every one of us to listen very carefully the spiritual meaning of the parable of the sower, simply because our Lord Jesus Christ says, if we could not comprehend the parable of the sower, obviously we would not be able to comprehend the rest of the parables as written in verse 13 on this particular chapter that says, and he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? And so, my dearly beloved, the crux of the gospel of Jesus Christ in terms of the responses of people, including genuine believers as well as temporizers, lies in this particular story. And in this parable, you will begin to comprehend the different types of people that responds to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And given the different responses, it is best for you to recognize which type of category you belong to. May I pray that you belong to the fourth ground. And if you manifest the characteristics of the third ground, then it is best for you to repent of your sins and turn around and be the fourth ground. Likewise, if you belong to the second ground, which are called the temporizers, which are dead spiritually, then obviously I also would petition before you to repent. And if you belong to the first ground, likewise, if you still could not bring yourself to believe in Jesus, my dear friend, I would like to also invite you to come to genuinely repent of your sins and belief in Jesus. Nonetheless, let us begin to dissect the spiritual meaning of the lessons that we must learn today from verse 1. And he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. Verse 2. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Verse 5. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Verse 7. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him, with the 12, asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see, and not perceive, and hearing they may hear, and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted, and their sins should be forgiven them. Now, my dearly beloved, this particular parable is very famous simply because this parable is written in the three gospels of our Lord Jesus Christ that include Matthew chapter 13, Mark chapter 4, as well as the gospel of Luke chapter 8. And so you can see the importance of this particular parable simply because they are written at least out of four gospels within the three gospels, isn't it? Nonetheless, in this particular parable, our Lord Jesus Christ had intentionally spoken the truth only in the form of parables, so that, just as our Lord Jesus Christ says, that as God's children and genuine believers, the mystery of the kingdom of God will be unveiled unto us, while all things are done in parables for the unbelieving world and unbelievers, of course, so that, just as our Lord Jesus Christ says in verse 12, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted, and their sins should be forgiven them. So you see, my dearly beloved, from this particular verse 12 alone, we can begin to comprehend of the very fact that until unless each and every one of our sins are washed away by the precious blood of Jesus, thereafter our spiritual blindness are totally healed, so that we could begin to comprehend the truth of the Word of God, not using our physical eyesight or carnal comprehension or our own intelligence, but rather the very moment the precious blood of Jesus washed away all of our sins and sanctified each and every one of us, thereafter the Holy Spirit will begin to indwell in our heart and give us our spiritual insight as well as spiritual hearing in order that we could see the truth of the Word of God. And so, my dearly beloved, until unless one is born again of the Spirit of God, one could never comprehend the truth in the light of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? For that reason, in today's world, in many, many churches, there are all kind of gospel that proceed from the Holy Bible simply because many of them are but false gospel or diluted gospel or gospel of easy believism or all kind of wrong teaching. Just as our Lord Jesus Christ says that in seeing they could not see and in hearing they could not understand. Thereafter, they resorted to their carnal mind to interpret the scripture. For that reason, we end up with all kind of false gospel out there, isn't it? And false teaching as well as false cults and religions that include Jehovah Witnesses, Mormons, Seventh-day Adventists, and so on. There are many kinds of religion that are created by the power of darkness to confuse each and every one of us so that many people would be led into the wrong path instead of the path of the truth and the narrow path of the cross. Nonetheless, as God's children, once we're born again of the Spirit of God and once we genuinely walk in absolute obedience to the Holy Spirit as His sheep, obviously the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ would be automatically unveiled unto us the very moment we began the journey hand in hand with the Holy Spirit and our Lord Jesus Christ, acting upon the commandment of God, isn't it? And so, as God's children, it is very important not just be the readers of the Word of God, but rather be the doers of the Word of God, just as our Lord Jesus Christ says, "He that heareth my word and act upon the commandment of God will be like a wise man that built his house upon the rock." And when the flood came and the wind blew, it would not collapse. If, however, you choose to merely read the Word of God, even study in schools or seminaries for that matter, and begin to dissect the Word of our Lord Jesus Christ by your carnal mind and refuse to crucify your flesh and yourself and obey and act upon His words, then, my dearly beloved, I can guarantee you one thing. You would never be able to comprehend the truth of the Word of God simply because, just as our Lord Jesus Christ says, if you continue to live and walk according to the truth of the Word of God and His commandments, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And if the Son, therefore, shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. And so, my dearly beloved, the truth of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ has the power to set you free from a lifestyle of darkness and from a lifestyle of sin and the spirit of unbelief and the spirit of doubt and confusion and so on, as every one of those spirit and sins comes from the power of darkness. But the Word of God is holy, and the Word of our Lord Jesus Christ is Jesus Christ Himself. For that reason, the very moment you begin to read the Word of God and come before the throne of grace, confessing each and every one of your sins and wash them by the precious blood of Jesus, thereafter you are made holy so that the Holy Spirit can joyfully indwell in your heart and begin to teach you the truth of the Word of God, whereby your spiritual eyesight would be open, and all of a sudden, behold, the truth of the Word of God not only come through in your spiritual system, but more importantly, you will receive the power, the strength, and the faith to overcome the power of darkness and a lifestyle of sins. And before long, you will discover that you are able to journey along the path of the cross and lead a lifestyle victorious over sin, over your flesh, and overcome the world, as well as leading a lifestyle of absolute godliness. All of these things comes from the truth of the Word of God and the presence of the Holy Spirit that will continue to strengthen us and to teach us and to guide us to walk according to the truth of the Word of our Lord Jesus Christ and in the light of His gospel, isn't it? Nonetheless, let us begin to recognize the four categories and learn what each and every one of these categories meant spiritually. First and foremost, our Lord Jesus Christ mentioned of the very fact that a sower went out to sow, and there are four types of ground in here, isn't it? The first type of ground is described where the seed was sown, but it fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it. And so that's the first type of ground. The second type of ground, it fell on stony ground, whereby it does not have much earth, and immediately it sprang, but because it had no root, it withered away. And the third type of ground is where some of the seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and obviously it yielded no fruit. And the final type of ground, what I call the fourth ground, is the very fact the seed fell on the good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. So you see, my dearly beloved, keep in our mind that these are four types of ground. And the grounds obviously spiritually refers to our heart and our kind of responses, the people that responded to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let us begin to study further and read the meaning of these four types of ground. Verse 14, the sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Verse 16, and these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness. Verse 17, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterwards, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Verse 18, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Verse 20, and these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And so, my dearly beloved, in these verses, our Lord Jesus Christ began to explain each and every type of ground and what the spiritual meaning, as well as the type of responses from the different groups of people to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. First and foremost, the very first type of ground, whereby the seed fell by the wayside and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up, refers to the very fact that the moment the unbelieving world or the unbelievers came, who were controlled by the power of darkness, whereby Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their heart. Now keep in mind, my dearly beloved, that the whole world lieth in wickedness, just as the Apostle John mentioned in the book of John. And ever since, the whole mankind have fallen in the state of sins from Adam and Eve simply because they chose to disobey the word of God. Thereafter, each and every one of us are born in sins. And so we have a group of unbelievers who choose to doubt the word of our Lord Jesus Christ and are filled with the spirit of unbelief, and within their hearts, they are filled with the power of darkness simply because they have led a lifestyle of absolute darkness and sins, whereby within their heart comes the presence of the power of darkness, and in their hard-heartedness and unbelief and the deceitfulness of sins, as written in the book of Hebrew, they have rejected the word of God, and their eyes are totally blinded, and their ears are totally deaf, as well as the power of darkness sits in their heart and control their heart, so that the very moment you share to them the truth of the word of God, they would ridicule or reject it instantly. And it is interesting to note that the Amplified Bible described verse 15 as follows: "The ones along the path are those who have the word sown in their hearts, but when they hear, Satan comes at once and by force takes away the message which is sown in them." So you see, my dearly beloved, Satan would use by force. He would forcefully remove the word of God from their heart, simply because they either could not believe the word of God or could not comprehend the truth of the word of God. And as a result, Satan immediately and forcefully removed the seed of the word of God that was sown in their heart, to the point that they rejected the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, the second type of ground refers to the second type of groups of people who, when they hear the word of God, accept it joyfully for just a moment. However, when afflictions and persecutions and difficulties come through, just like the sun scorching upon them, then because it does not have no root, neither the depth of the earth for the root to grow thereafter, they withered instantly. In other words, these are what I call the temporizers. Temporarily, when they hear the word of God, they sound happy. They sound as if they would like to accept Jesus Christ and even go to church and perhaps be baptized. But somehow, down the road, when persecution comes through and difficulties come through because they are not genuinely linked with the Holy Spirit and are not born again of the Holy Spirit, simply because it does not have any root. And so a superficial believer could not last but for a brief period of time. And when the sun scorched, which refers to great difficulties and tribulations because they do not have root, and any plant that do not have root, we know that those plants are but dead, isn't it? Just like you go to a store that sell flowers, and those are beautiful flowers, but the flowers do not have any root to it. Just like a bouquet of flowers, they would look very pretty, but for a while, a week or 10 days, and before long, they withered and died, simply because they do not have any root to be able to withstand and extract water, isn't it, to sustain life. And so in here, you notice, because they do not have root, they are what we call spiritually dead Christians, or nominal Christians, or Christians in name. And in places like China, the very moment the communists took over years ago, and even up to the present, many of these Christians, especially when the communists began to clamp on the gospel of Jesus Christ, as well as the Christians, they threatened to put them to jail. They threatened to even kill them if they continue believing in Jesus Christ. Just as my spiritual teacher, Miss Esther Wong, she had to go through great persecution And she was imprisoned 20 years in China for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of her faith, trusting in our Lord Jesus Christ as her personal Savior, and refused to give up her faith. And as a result, she was imprisoned, and she was ready to die for Jesus. However, there are many, many people in China, the very moment the communists took over, even though they were before in churches, and they were baptized in the name of Jesus. But the very moment persecution and tribulation comes through from the communists, they decided to delete their name and gave up their faith and their belief simply because they are not genuine believers. They would become the communists. They would join the Communist Party and denounce our Lord Jesus Christ as their but temporizers. Now, my dearly beloved, the third group of people are the seed that fell among the thorns. And the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And our Lord Jesus Christ described these groups of people being the third type of ground. That says, "And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful." Now the Amplified Bible writes as follows, "And the ones sown among the thorns are others who hear the word, and the cares and anxieties of the world, and distractions of the age, and the pleasure and delight, and false glamour, and deceitfulness of riches, and the craving and passionate desire for other things, creep in and choke and suffocate the word, and it becomes fruitless." So you see, my dearly beloved, the third kind of ground indeed had grown into a plant, and the plant has root, but because the presence of thorns that competed with the minerals and sucked away from the plants, obviously the plants are unable to become fruitful as the thorns has taken away the minerals that supplies to the plant, isn't it? And the plants become unhealthy and are unable to bear any fruits. And so what are the thorns spiritually refers to? Now, my dearly beloved, keep in mind that this plant has got root and it did grow, but it is not able to bear fruits. That's where the problem is. And so we know that these are the groups of people that are born again of the Spirit of God without question, because it is alive and it has got root. The only problem is the very fact that it is unhealthy. The plant is very weak. It is not a strong, good plant, simply because there are many, many sins in the heart of the third ground, as the Amplified Bible writes of the very fact that the sins that competed and choked the word of our Lord Jesus Christ from bearing the fruits in one's heart include as follows. Number one, the cares and the anxieties of the world. Number two, the distractions of the age, and the pleasure and the delight and false glamour, as well as the deceitfulness of riches, and furthermore, the craving and passionate desire for other things began to creep in your heart and choke the word out so that you don't have any time to think for the word of Jesus. And in your mind, the power of darkness began to take away all of the attention that you had spent in reading the Bible, perhaps early in the morning. And before long, all of these anxieties and the false hope of the world in terms of money and all of your worries began to creep in and choke and compete away with the Word of God, so that all day long your mindset and your heart are filled with the worries of the world, the anxieties and the distractions of the age, and so on, isn't it? So you see, as a result, even though this group of born-again Christians could be attending churches after churches, or week after week in fellowship and worship of the Lord God, yet their hearts are filled with the world. For that reason, the Apostle John tells us, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And all of the things that are in the world, that include the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, which refers to the things of mammon, the things of money that we find security blanket in, instead of trusting in the word of our Lord Jesus Christ, began to overwhelm us. So even though they could be in the church, but their heart is not with the Lord God. And what they practice essentially is but religion, simply because they go to church. They manifest externalism, which is the worship on the outside, but within their heart, they are far away from the truth of the word of God. They are far away from loving Jesus. They are busy with activities in the churches, and yet they fail to walk according to the word of God, simply because they could not remember the word of God. And the power of darkness had intentionally attacked them ferociously by putting the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things in their heart and mind, and began to stifle the Holy Spirit, so that the Holy Spirit has no place in their heart. And before long, you will discover that they are cold towards the things of the Lord God, and their hearts are filled with the love of the world. Now, my dearly beloved, sad to say, there are many Christians that fall in this particular category as the third ground. And this particular category is also described in Matthew chapter 25 as the foolish virgins, as well as the goat, versus the five wise virgins, and the sheep of the Lord God, which refers to the last type of ground that I will be studying with you right now. Verse 20, and these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Now, my dearly beloved, the fourth type of ground refers to the sheep of the Lord God, and refers to the bride of Christ, simply because the fourth ground is described as the good ground that can bring forth 30-fold, 60-fold, and some 100-fold of fruits, isn't it? Now, why is it that the fourth ground is able to bear so much fruit versus the third ground that is not able to bear fruit? Why is it that the fourth ground are able to be fruitful? First and foremost, in order to have a good soil, the soil has got to be soft and nice, and all the rocks of sins have got to be dug out from the ground, so that the roots of that plant could go down deep into the ground, as well as there is no thorns. All the thorns are all rooted out or pulled out. And the fourth ground refers to the sheep and the disciples of Christ Jesus, whereby they could accept the truth of the word of God, comprehend the truth, and welcome it. And obviously, before long, they are able to walk according to the word of God, simply because they could spiritually grasp the truth of the word of God. They know what the Master is talking about. They know exactly what our Lord Jesus Christ requires each and every one of us according to his commandments. Just as our Lord Jesus Christ says, if any man were to follow me, they are to deny themselves and take up the cross and follow me. And so the fourth ground refers to the group of people, the genuine believers, the disciples of Christ, who obey completely the word of God and walk the narrow path of the cross. They have decided to lose themselves in order to walk the life of Christ. They have decided to crucify themselves harshly with great discipline, just as the Apostle Paul mentioned of the very fact that he had put great discipline by controlling and subjugating his own flesh in order to walk along the path of the cross, in order to overcome a lifestyle of sins, totally depending on the work of the Holy Spirit by abiding in Christ Jesus the very moment they crucified themselves. Now, my dearly beloved, keep in mind that the Apostle Paul tells us in Galatians 5:16 by saying, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law." And so, my dearly beloved, these are the fourth type of ground, the disciples of Christ, who continue to victoriously walking in the Spirit and crucifying the lust of the flesh. And they do not succumb to the lust of the flesh, but rather deal with it, crucify it, and deny it completely, whereby the Holy Spirit will begin to be uplifted in their heart, whereby they begin to cherish the Holy Spirit, and whereby the Holy Spirit feels totally at home in their heart. Just as the Apostle John says, "He hears our prayer, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." And so you see, my dearly beloved, whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And the fourth ground, my dearly beloved, are these groups of people. As the Apostle John have mentioned, of the very fact that God hears their prayers simply because they have done whatever our Lord Jesus Christ had instructed them to do, and it is through them that our Lord Jesus Christ is glorified. Now let me ask you a question. Which of these four types of ground do you belong? Do you belong to the first type of ground, or do you belong to the second type of ground, or do you belong to the third type of ground, or do you belong to the fourth type of ground? Now, my dearly beloved, apart from being the fourth type of ground, it is time for you to repent. If you belong to the first type of ground, my dear friend, it is time for you to come and believe in Jesus and repent and confess your sins, simply because you will be led by the power of darkness and controlled with the lifestyle of sin, and pushed and forced by the power of darkness, subjugated by Satan. And someday, until unless you come to genuinely believe in Jesus and repent of your sins, when you leave this world, the power of darkness will pull you down with him to the lake of fire, and whereby our Lord God will judge each and every one of us that do not believe in Jesus and condemn each and every one of us in the lake of fire simply because you refuse to repent and petition the precious blood of Jesus to wash away your sin and accept Jesus as your personal Savior. And obviously, it is not because the Lord God does not love you. It is because you have rejected the cup of his blessing and the riches of his grace by believing in Jesus Christ and his death on the Calvary. And so, my dear friend, I pray and petition before you that you would repent while there is time. And likewise, the second type of ground and the third type of ground, may I petition before you to genuinely believe in Jesus, just like the fourth type of ground, and confess as well as repent each and every one of your sins, so that the Holy Spirit can take control of your mind and your heart and begin a lifestyle of absolute fruitfulness in the name of Jesus, walking hand in hand with the Holy Spirit as you crucify your old flesh upon the cross. And by obeying the Lordship of the Holy Spirit and our Lord Jesus Christ, by acting upon his commandment and abiding in him, as written in John chapter 15, so that, as our Lord Jesus Christ says, "He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me he can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. But if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. So you see, my dearly beloved, the second and the third ground have got to repent of each and every one of their sins before they can turn around to become fruitful the very moment the Holy Spirit comes through in their heart, to live in their heart as they acknowledge their sinfulness with a heart of absolute humility, crying unto our Lord Jesus Christ for mercy and absolute forgiveness, so that they would begin a lifestyle of fruitfulness, walking hand in hand in absolute obedience to the Holy Spirit, isn't it? Verse 21, and he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. Now, my dearly beloved, our Lord Jesus Christ has instructed in his words to each and every one of us to be able to shine forth as a light, as written in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, as follows, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. For that reason, our Lord Jesus Christ mentioned of the very fact that a light can only be put in a candle, and it is not put under a bushel or under a bed, simply because the very moment we set a candle on the candlestick in darkness, everybody gets to see it, isn't it? And the world that we live in is the world of absolute darkness, as the power of darkness controls the hearts of the unbelievers. And as God's children, and as his sheep, our Lord Jesus Christ has instructed to be able to act like a light, to be able to burn ourselves with the love of Jesus and crucify our old ugly self, so that the life of Christ would be able to radiate through our life and shine forth, that others can see our good works and glorify our Heavenly Father which is in heaven. And our good works in here refers to the fruitfulness, refers to the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit that include love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law, as written in Galatians 5:22. And furthermore, our Lord Jesus Christ also mentioned in John chapter 15, verse 16, by saying, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. So you see, my dearly beloved, our Lord Jesus Christ has instructed each and every one of us to be a candle, to be a salt that disappears in the tongue, so that others can taste the salt of it and not see the salt, isn't it? And so the very moment we shine forth just like a candle, it is a self-sacrificing love of Jesus that fills each and every one of the hearts of the disciples of Christ, the bride of Christ, and the sheep of Christ, that would be able to glorify our Heavenly Father the very moment others would see that light in darkness through the good works and the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit that we bear in order to bring others to Christ, isn't it? And likewise, verse 22, our Lord Jesus Christ said, for there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. Now the Amplified Bible writes verse 22 as follows, things are hidden temporarily only as a means to revelation, for there is nothing hidden except to be revealed, nor is anything temporarily kept secret except in order that it might be made known. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. In other words, the very moment you genuinely repent of your sins, permitting the Holy Spirit to come through to indwell in your heart, all of a sudden, the things that you could not see before, the things that look like a secret to your eyes simply because we could not comprehend what the spiritual meaning of the parable of our Lord Jesus Christ. All of a sudden, your eyes are open and you could begin to comprehend the truth in the light of the Word of God as the Holy Spirit began to unveil and open to your spiritual eyesight as well as your spiritual hearing, isn't it? Verse 24, and he said unto them, take heed what ye hear, with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. Now, what is this parable spiritually refers to? The Amplified Bible writes verse 24 as follows, and he said to them, be careful what you are hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you, and more beside will be given to you who hear. In other words, the very moment we began to study very carefully the Word of God with all of our heart, soul, and mind, as well as meditate upon His words and act upon His commandment, before long, the Holy Spirit will begin to unveil the truth of the Word of God as you diligently seek the truth before the Lord God and petition the Holy Spirit to show you. Just like myself, personally, I have many, many experiences where I began to meditate on the Word of God, and the very moment I could not comprehend what is the meaning of that particular word, all of a sudden my eyes were open. As I petitioned the Holy Spirit to unveil the meaning of it, then the Holy Spirit will begin to unveil that truth in the light of the Word of God in perhaps another chapter. So you see, my dearly beloved, God's Word is just amazing. And the Holy Spirit Himself is also amazing, of the very fact that the Lord God sent Him into our life as our assistant, as our teacher, and as our counselor in order to guide us into the truth, isn't it? For that reason, our Lord Jesus Christ says, he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. In other words, the very moment we begin to bear fruits and bloom, the Lord God is going to send more pruning knives into our life so that we begin to bloom more and more. And those that do not bloom and refuse to obey the Word of God, and they're just like the Pharisees, refuse to act upon the Word of God, obviously, even though they could be born again of the Spirit of God, they will end up as a withered branch simply because they refuse to obey the Holy Spirit and walk in their flesh instead of crucifying their old flesh. And it is dangerous to walk as the third ground, as the goat and the branch that stopped bearing the fruits, as before long they will end up withered and will be taken away and cut off from the vine and thrown in the lake of fire, as they become fruitless in the long run. That's exactly what our Lord Jesus Christ mentioned when he says, for he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. So you see, my dearly beloved, the very moment you have, then more will be given. The very moment you have not, in other words, you are no longer fruitful and begin to be fruitless, it is dangerous. If you continue in that path of fruitlessness, then the very talent that God has given you, just like the one talent versus the two talent and the five talent as written in Matthew chapter 25, the one talent will be taken away from that one talent because there is an evil and wicked and slothful servant, and it will be given unto the 10 talents as the 10 talents produce much, isn't it? Verse 26, and he said, so is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth immediately, he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. Now, my dearly beloved, the word earth in here spiritually refers to the Holy Spirit, and it takes the Holy Spirit to be able to bring forth the fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. Now, how do we know that it is the Holy Spirit? Well, it is crystal clear simply because all the work of fruitfulness comes from the work of the Holy Spirit. For that reason, our Lord Jesus Christ sends the Holy Spirit to come to indwell in our heart, and there is nothing good in our flesh. Just as the Apostle Paul says that we are carnal, soul under sin, and there is no way that our flesh would be able to bear the 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit, isn't it? And it takes the Holy Spirit himself to be able to work the life of Christ that is given unto us in order to bloom us. And as far as we are concerned, our work is merely a work of choosing, walking in the Spirit versus walking in the flesh. Just as I mentioned to you earlier in Galatians 5:16, as the Apostle Paul encouraged us to walk in the Spirit instead of walking in the flesh. And we are given the free will to choose to obey the voice of the Holy Spirit versus walking in our own flesh. Yes, that is the power that God has given us to choose. But the rest of the work is totally dependent on the work of the Holy Spirit, isn't it? It is not dependent on the flesh to be able to bear the 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit. It is impossible for the flesh to produce that. For that reason, my dearly beloved, we only choose to walk in the Spirit, and then the rest of it, it takes the Holy Spirit himself to begin processing in our heart. The very moment we choose to crucify our old flesh and obey the Holy Spirit with the heart of thanksgiving, no matter what tribulations we face, no matter what difficulties we face, as long as it is not the result of our sin, it is called the pruning knives, and the pruning knives will only permit the Holy Spirit to be uplifted the very moment we abide in Christ Jesus, by remembering his commandment, by acting upon his commandment, and by crucifying our old flesh. Likewise, in the book of Revelation, chapter 12, verse 16, it says, "And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth, and swallowed up the flood, which the dragon cast out of his mouth." Now, my dearly beloved, this is the same earth that refers to the Holy Spirit that will help us to overcome and consume and swallow up the flood, which refers to the world that is Satan himself would cast out from his mouth in order to attack God's children. The very moment Satan would use the world against us, that include the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, and so on. And Satan would use those things to choke us and compete with the Holy Spirit. Thereafter, the Holy Spirit will give us a pair of wings to fly into the wilderness, just like the woman, as written in Revelation chapter 12, verse 14. "And to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time, and times and half a time, from the face of the serpent." So you see, my dearly beloved, the most powerful tool that Satan would use against God's children is the flood, referring to the world. And of course, Satan would use the world as a bait to provoke our flesh to be alive, so that the very moment we are alive, Satan had won the battle and subjugated and controlled each and every one of us through the flesh. For that reason, our Lord Jesus Christ has instructed each and every one of us to deny ourselves and take up the cross and follow him in order to be his disciples. As the power of the risen Savior lies in the cross, the very moment we crucify our flesh, the power of darkness has lost the battle. And it is in the cross that Satan's power is totally broken. And if our Master, our Lord Jesus Christ, died in the cross, then each and every one of us also have got to die in the cross. As our Lord Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead, we will resurrect with the presence of the Holy Spirit within our heart. And until and unless we crucify our old flesh, my dearly beloved, it is impossible for us to be able to journey like the sheep, to be victorious over sin, to be victorious over the world as well as our flesh, isn't it? For that reason, my dearly beloved, it takes the earth to help the woman and swallow up the flood. And it is very important for each and every one of us to come into the wilderness alone with the Lord God and petitioning for the Holy Spirit to strengthen us through reading the Word of God and through prayer in order to be able to battle the ferocious attack of the power of darkness in our everyday life, isn't it? But keep in mind, our Lord Jesus Christ says, the very moment when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. Now, my dearly beloved, someday, as God's children, once we're born again of the Spirit of God, we've got to keep on running the race that is set before us with absolute patience and begin to bloom and become fruitful to the point that someday we would be made ready as his saints with the image of our Lord Jesus Christ, just as the Apostle Paul says in Romans 8, 28 and 29, that says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So you see, my dearly beloved, the ultimate will of God in our life is to look like Jesus, isn't it? That's the reason why our Lord Jesus Christ came to save us and sent the Holy Spirit to indwell in each and every one of our hearts, so that someday we would become fruitful, we would look like Jesus, and put on the white garment, which refers to the righteous act of the saint, in order to enter into the marriage of the Lamb, written by the Apostle John in Revelation chapter 19. And by the time we receive his abundant life, our Lord Jesus Christ says, he will putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. And so you see, my dearly beloved, we've got to run as fast as we can and not be entangled with the affairs of this world, simply because each and every one of the saints in the whole world, scattered everywhere, are constantly growing and running until it is about time for the harvest to take place. And if you run behind, my dearly beloved, you run into a dangerous ending, simply because all the other saints out there have begun to bloom and grow in the spirit and come into maturity while you are still behind. And if the harvest time is come, where do you think you would end up, isn't it? Verse 30, and he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up, and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. And with many such parables spake he the word unto them, as they were able to hear it. But without a parable spake he not unto them. And when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. Now, my dearly beloved, the last parable of the kingdom of God that is written in this particular chapter talks about a grain of a mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less of all the seed that be in the earth. But the very moment it grows up, it becomes greater than all the herbs, and shooteth forth great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. Now, what is the meaning of the branches? that permit the fowl of the air. The fowl of the air, we know, refers to Satan. In other words, the very moment the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ began to be spread all over the world, obviously, just as I mentioned earlier, the power of darkness will begin to produce imitation gospel, will produce all kind of false teaching, and all kind of branches will begin to appear from the truth of the Word of God simply because the fowl of the air that refers to the power of darkness began to create all kind of false doctrine, false teaching, as well as the false prophet. So that out of the truth of the Word of God, there comes different kinds of false gospel, isn't it? Whereby the power of darkness that is written in here, as the fowls of the air began to lodge under the shadow of it. So you see, my dearly beloved, where there is the truth of the Word of God, be very careful of the false one and the imitation, diluted and false gospel out there that obviously comes from the power of darkness. Verse 36, and when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. Verse 37, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose, and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obeyed him? Now, my dearly beloved, this particular story spiritually refers to the very fact that as God's children, there are times in our life when the wind of life, the hurricane of problems and tribulations would attack each and every one of God's children, isn't it? Simply because the power of darkness would attack us by sending us ferocious and nasty attacks from the power of darkness that include trials and tribulations. But nonetheless, keep in mind that we are not alone, that our Lord Jesus Christ is with us. For that reason, we must continue to fight the good fight of faith and not buckle down out of fear, simply because the power of darkness would rob away our faith that is given by the Holy Spirit from our heart, and would snatch that faith and replace it with the power of fear. The very moment we buckle down under the power of fear, just like the disciples of Christ in here, who were all shaken away as the wind began to take toll in their life. And as a result, it takes our Lord Jesus Christ to command the power of darkness to go away, and instantly by saying, Peace, be still. The very moment our Lord Jesus Christ says, Peace, Satan would flee far away. And so, my dearly beloved, I would encourage you to come before the throne of grace and petition before our Lord Jesus Christ by faith, and not be filled with the power of fear, which comes from the power of darkness. Just as the Apostle Paul says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And without faith, we falter into the law of sin, isn't it? For anything that is not of faith is sin, just as the Apostle Paul continued to remind each and every one of us through his words. And so our Lord Jesus Christ in here said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And so, my dearly beloved, the attack of the boisterous winds come from the power of darkness. And many times in our life, keep in mind, those powerful winds and the attacks of the power of darkness are permitted by our Heavenly Father as our pruning knives, simply because our Heavenly Father would like each and every one of God's children to bloom quickly and to bloom lusciously, the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit, For that reason, my dearly beloved, be not afraid of the pruning knife, so long as you abide in him, so long as you crucify your flesh, and you know that it comes as your pruning knife so long as it is not due to the consequence of your sin. And the very moment you recognize that it is not your mistake and it is not due to your sin, rejoice. Give thanks unto the Lord God. Just as the Apostle Paul tells us, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, and be victorious by abiding in him and remembering his commandments, and begin to petition by faith so that your prayer would be answered, so that you would begin to bloom spiritually and, much more important, be able to experience the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. And out of that prayer comes the powerful testimony that will be produced as we abide in him and as God answers our prayer, isn't it? And furthermore, the very moment our prayer is answered, we will experience, just as our Lord Jesus Christ tells us in John chapter 15, verse 7 and 8, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Now, my dearly beloved, it is time to part once again. May the Lord richly bless you through his words today. May we continue to be fruitful by abiding in him and uplifting the Holy Spirit. May we continue to crucify our flesh and remember his commandments, so that we can walk as the fourth ground that bring forth some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. In Jesus' most precious and wonderful name, I ask and pray for. Amen.